just real quick, though, before we get into today's sermon, you know, all of you, I'm sure, were aware of last week's tragedy at that Jewish synagogue, the shooting. Just really terrible, terrible thing. And people have asked me, you know, especially after that and over the last several months, you know, what about our church security? You know, there seems like these shootings now are becoming way more regular, and then even inside churches. And so, you know, what have we done? And so what I've decided to do this morning, I've invited Doug Willard to share with us a little bit about things for us to consider and be aware of for our church security. Doug's a retired state trooper, has many years in law enforcement. So I'd like to have Doug come up, if you would, and we'll just take a few minutes to talk about this stuff. And Doug's a hunter too, so you know, you couldn't see me probably standing up here, Doug. Yeah. So I'm going to ask you a couple questions, and then maybe you could just share some thoughts here. But Doug visited with the staff, and he's been trying to work with us about some security issues, and really just realizing how, you know, how out of touch I am sometimes. You just don't realize it. You don't think these things through. One of the questions Doug asked us, he said, what would you do if you were at church on Sunday and someone got up and disrupted the service, started yelling and making a scene? And he asked me, you know, and I was sitting there. I said, I don't know, ask Mark and maybe John, a couple of guys, take them out and thump on them, you know, I don't know. that was my answer. I don't know, take them out, you know, talk to them with one of these, you know. So Doug said, no, that's not good. So what should we do, Doug? We're at church and somebody jumps up and is disrupting our service. What should we do?
Yeah, so before I get to that, wildlife officer?
Oh, I'm sorry. Tony. Yeah, Tony's back there. Thank you. For Division of Wildlife. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
that's right.
Recognize. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for protecting our state, our people, our resources. Appreciate all you do out there.
Yes, we do. Really do. And he's got some material out there. He'd love to talk with you. You know, we have got the best ODNR, Department of Natural Resources, Division of Wildlife, Parks and Rec. We have got some great stuff here in Ohio. So, Tony, thank you so much. Appreciate you being here this morning. All right, Doug, go ahead.
So as Dave was saying, we do actually have a safety plan. A couple of years ago, we got together, a bunch of folks on staff, a bunch of volunteers, all different areas helped out, put together a safety plan. And we then started training. We trained a ton of different groups and people on our safety plan. But one of the, like Dave said, is what do we do? What's our response when someone comes up or starts disrupting the service? And we got to kind of look at it a couple of different ways. One, if it's someone who's going through a crisis emotionally, spiritually, physically, that's one type of aspect we need to address and protect that person's dignity and probably get them off to the prayer room. And we have people here to provide them resources to assist them and take care of those issues. But if it's someone that's here that's come in to disrupt and protest, and let's take like a pro-life Sanctity of Life Sunday.
Right.
And we're a very pro-life church. And someone that comes in that is pro-death, and they decide to interrupt and you know, try to drown out the message. It's what we need to do is, first of all, as the person's on the platform, would basically tell them to cease, to stop doing what they're doing, and you need to leave the property. That tells that person that this is private property. The staff here has the ability to order anybody off this property. If they fail to do so, immediately that's a violation, that's criminal trespass, and they can be physically arrested. Now, we can't do that. The key is that we cannot put hands on people, all right? If you've been thinking about yesterday's OSU football game, or you're thinking about what you're going to do after the thing, please tune in right now, all right? Do not put your hands on somebody if they are not harming another person, all right? Our goal is to let law enforcement come in, address those people, and take them off. If they damage property, we can replace property. Remember, the sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me, right?
Right.
So let them do what they're going to be doing. They've been ordered off campus. They failed to leave the property here. Law enforcement will come and address them. We let law enforcement do their job. We need to stay out of it. That will protect you, your bank account, your car, your house, and the church here. Understand, they are going to come armed with videographers and stuff like that. They are going to videograph everything just to make certain that if anything takes place wrong here, that they will then sue the living daylights out of this church and out of the person who does it. So do yourself a favor, let law enforcement handle it.
Yep, and this really helped me, Doug. So if something's going on like that, just stay in your seat. You don't have to yell. You don't have to tell them to sit down. Just stay in your seat, remain calm, pray, and who's ever up on the pulpit will take care of it, and we've got security people, and it'll be taken care of. So that at least takes care of that. The next one's a little more difficult, and what about a shooter, Doug? We pray to God we never have to deal with this, but we saw it last week. So what about a shooter coming in the church?
So we go by the Department of Homeland Security training, and it's really behavioral-based training or a philosophy of how to protect yourself. If your instinct is to run, run, okay? Get the heck out of here. If you have the ability and you're not putting yourself and your loved ones in more danger, get the heck out of here. Get away from it. The best way to protect yourself from serious danger is to create distance, all right? And then put something between you and the threat. If you can't run, or if that's gonna put you into more danger, then the next aspect is to hide, all right? But please don't just sit back and hide with the idea that no one's gonna come. You gotta kind of think about what's the next step. If that person comes after me, how am I gonna protect myself? And that's the last thing, it's run, hide, or fight. And so probably most of us will have the instinct to get the heck out of here and get away from the threat. Some folks will have the instinct to fight that person and to stop. And just like they had the shooter down in the yoga place, mm-hmm. Down Florida.
One down in Texas.
I mean, let's
too,
get
yeah.
serious. Michelle Brinkley, where are you? You know, we've got yoga feet people, these big, bad Navy SEAL, right? That's what, you know. Yeah, get up and they fight off this attacker with a gun and totally unarmed. There are going to be people like that. And what I would ask is, if that's your instinct, if your instinct is to go and stop that person, we have a fair number. We are what? A
pretty
New
well
Testament,
armed,
Second
pretty
Amendment,
well
Holy
armed
Ghost
church.
Filled church, aren't we? Yeah. So if your instinct is to take on that threat and stop them, then awesome. That's great. We are going to have a class next year. For those of you that are CCW holders and want to carry here on campus, that's going to provide some firearms training, but also some weapon management, how you move in crowds and how you do all that kind of stuff. I'll tell you what, we'll have a lot of fun for those of you who want to do it. But the biggest thing is, if you see something that is concerning to you, please say something to one of the staff members, to Pastor Dave, myself, Shannon, Scott, Greg Lusney. Greg, can you raise your hand there if you don't know him? Shannon, can you
Greg?
Raise your hand? These are folks, you know, any staff member, if there's something
Police
that's concerning
officers,
of
yep.
you, please let one of these folks know so that they can, you know, at least see what's going on. We did a great job last week. We had a concern about a person who had a backpack on and had all sorts of wires and stuff like that. And they got a hold of me. They said, hey, we got this issue.
Oh,
that turned out to be the new drummer. Okay. So, but hey.
Woo!
That was
you
awesome.
Took them down, too. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah. So it was great because people did what they were supposed to do. They saw something, and they brought it to our attention. So
yeah. Well,
that was cool.
Yeah, so obviously we want you to feel safe. Our true safety is in Christ, and we're not going to be fearful people. But Doug has been very, very helpful in just providing some safety mechanisms and also training in the back, door locks, different kind of things. So, you know, we just want you to be a little bit at peace. I mean, it's a crazy environment we are in right now, but let's just pray that God would continue to protect us as a church. Amen? Amen. Thanks, Doug. Thanks. Appreciate you.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah. So, yeah, why do we do Hunter Sunday and, you know, celebrate the great outdoors? And some people say, man, that's just crazy, you know, like, that's just not biblical or something. They just have a problem with it. But let me just share with you just a couple of quick reasons. Why do I do this? Other than it's just a lot of fun, and I like having fun in my Christian walk, but I have a purpose here, okay? So over the years, this is our 20th year of Hunter Sunday, believe it or not. 20 years we've been having Hunter Sundays, but I'm trying to at least teach you and hopefully help you develop what I would call a biblical worldview about what does God say about hunting? What does God say about eating meat? What does God say about taxidermy? What, you know, everybody has their opinion. If I say to you, what do you think about hunting or what do you think about eating meat? Everybody's got an opinion. And well, that's wonderful. I'm glad you have an opinion. But in my book, the only one that really matters is God's opinion. And so I'm here to tell you that God has a lot to say about hunting, about eating meat, about taxidermy, about nature and the outdoors. And there are hundreds of passages that deal with this. And so we've dealt with some of them over the years, and there's just no way I could do them all in one sermon. But I will do this. I will recommend to you this book. It's called Rise, Kill, and Eat. That's a passage out of the book of Acts. God commanded Peter in a vision, rise, kill, and eat. These were animals. And this is the best book I've ever read as far as God's view of hunting and animals and eating meat. I will just warn you, the book has a little edge to it. He's kind of, you know, edgy, but it's biblically correct. So if you want God's opinion, this is a great book. It's called Rise, Kill, and Eat by Doug Goss. I really have enjoyed this and have given it to many people. I think it can be really, really helpful. So, but another reason, why do I have a day where we celebrate hunting in the great outdoors? Is because I do want you to understand that we have a responsibility for creation care. You know, the way we use the outdoors and nature is important to God, whether we use it or abuse it. And we should be having some share in preventing excessive waste and pollution, and we ought not to be people who litter. I mean, just simple things, but we ought to have a part in this. And to help you understand that our responsibility toward creation and the care of creation is an essential part of our Christian faith. It's not a secondary thing. We have been given dominion over the earth from the very beginning when God created Adam and Eve. We were given dominion. And David in the Psalm 8 said, God, you have given dominion over all of creation to mankind. And so we have a responsibility and we ought to care for creation. So creation care is a significant part of our Christian faith. And of course, to hopefully help you to prevent what I would call excess extremism. So you have on one side, abuse and exploitation of water and nature, and that's wrong, and people will answer to God for that. There's a passage in the book of Revelations. God says those who destroy the environment, God will destroy them. So he's going to hold people accountable for that. So that's one extreme. The other extreme is the deification of nature. Like, you know, you can't kill a tree and everything, you know, God is everything. You know, it's that extremes on both sides. Somewhere in the middle, we need to develop a biblical understanding of creation care. And so this morning, I want to take a look at a passage that I just think is so interesting. It's in the Gospel of Luke chapter 5, verse 16. It's Jesus' view of the impact of nature, like how nature can actually help improve your relationship with God. So if you have your Bibles, open to Luke chapter 5. We'll read this passage together. Verse 16. Real short passage, but it's put in there, and you kind of go, wow, this is really interesting. So in verse 16, it says regarding Jesus, so he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. The NIV says into lonely places. I think the Old King James says desert places. It says here, Jesus himself often withdrew into these desolate places to pray. I find this interesting. Why would Jesus do that? Wouldn't it be better if he prayed in the synagogue? Or if he prayed in his house? Or if he prayed in his backyard? Surely that would have been fine. But it says here, often he would go out into desolate places to pray. And I'm thinking, well now, if Jesus thought that was important, and if back in those days he thought it was important to get away, what about today? I mean, think of the busyness that we're dealing with in everyday life today. And I think it's even more so today with all of technology and cell phones and internet. I just think so many people are so busy that we don't even see this impact that Jesus thought it was important to get out in the wilderness, the woods, the desert places, someplace by himself and have communion with God. There must be something special with this, that it was an important part of Jesus' life. And I just find it sad when I get to know people and I find out that they really don't like the outdoors, or, you know, they don't like camping, or they don't like campfires, or so many people today out of touch with nature altogether, don't know anything about plants and don't know anything about animals and, you know, don't know how to sharpen a knife, don't know how to field dress an animal. I mean, it's like people just totally disassociated from nature. We just buy our stuff at Kroger's, eat it, and go home and eat it. That's it, you know. Don't know where it comes from, have no idea. And there's something about being in touch with nature that apparently was important to Jesus. And here's what I think it was. It was solitude. It was quietness. And it's missing today. It's unbelievable. You ever go out in the parks or go to places where people are running or gyms and stuff? I mean, what do you see in their ears all the time now? They got earbuds. They're out, you know, there'd be the one place to get some quiet, and they got, you know, listening to a podcast and you know, fine, there's a place to listen to podcasts, but what about quiet? What about solitude? I'm pretty sure if it was important to Jesus and it enhanced his prayer life that he thought it was important to get away to go pray, there's probably something there for us. I can tell you a story, it's probably been 40 plus years ago, where I had a revelation about prayer. At that time, I was a younger Christian, and I was struggling with my prayer life. I knew I was supposed to pray. I mean, all Christians are supposed to pray, and I hear a sermon on prayer, and I feel guilty because my prayer life is just junk, you know. I pray for 5 or 10 minutes in the living room, and then I'm done. I'm distracted. I try to pray in the back porch and the phone's ringing, or I see something I have to do. I mean, my prayer life just wasn't what I thought it should be. And I remember just struggling with that. And I shared it with a brother one time, and he said, you know, I have some friends. He said, they're Trappist monks. We got to go visit them. Maybe they know about prayer. And so I spent a weekend with some Trappist monks back then. Wow, man. I mean, these people are different. You know, there are people who give up speech altogether. They won't even talk. And, you know, they pray for hours in the chapel, and they pray for hours in their cubicle, and they kneel down, and wow, man, they don't pray, they don't talk when they're eating. And anyway, when we left, they gave me this little kneeling stool, how to pray and kneel, and I tried it in my bedroom and living room for a while. I was like, man, that's not working, you know, it didn't work. And then I had this thought, which I believe was the Holy Spirit. He said, hey, why don't you go for a walk in the woods? And just go for a walk with God. And it was like, wow, a walk with God? How novel an idea. How unreligious. Like, you don't walk with God, you pray to God, you know. But I'll just do it. So I went for a walk, and, you know, it took me a while to unwind. I started right out with my prayer list, you know, because that's what you do when you pray. You have your prayer list. I'm praying for so-and-so, praying for all these people I'm supposed to pray for, blah, 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 you know. 15, 20 minutes into it, I was like, phew. And then I know I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. I think he was kinder than this, but I think what I heard him say is, why don't you shut up, man? You're babbling, you're driving me crazy. No, he didn't say it, like, just, that's what it feels like, you know. But I felt like he said, why don't you ask me what I think? And it was like, wow. So I shut up, just walked for a while. God, what's on your mind? And guess what? God's got stuff on his mind. Started speaking to me about stuff in my life and things I needed to look at. And I'm telling you, that transformed my life. Totally transformed my life. My conversations with God became conversations instead of prayer. Talk to God, I'm done. It became conversations, and I attribute that to the fact that I got out of my office, I got out of my house, I went for a walk in the woods, I was quiet, and I just listened, and wow, guess what? God speaks through nature. There's something about that. Or maybe it's just the quietness that I could hear him. But nature, being out in nature, has a way of enhancing your prayer life. And I'm sure this is why Jesus went off often to pray. I mean, we're talking about Jesus. If anybody should be our example, it should be him. And he's saying he often went off. And I'm thinking, wow, man. And now look, everybody's different. Everybody has their different way of communing with God. And God can speak to you in the living room. He can speak to you in your car. I mean, he's spoken to me many, many places, you know, all the time. But I can tell you what works best for me, getting off and following Jesus' example. That's why I fish and I hunt. I love to fish and hunt, but I'm telling you, I love to fish and hunt because I get some quiet time. I try to not have earbuds in my ear. I try to sit quiet, especially when you're deer hunting. Try to sit quiet in your living room. I dare you to sit quiet in your living room for 2 hours. You can't do it. I mean, unless you're a special person, but I know I couldn't do it. But you know what? I can sit in a tree stand for 2 or 3 or 4 hours, quiet. And you know what? You find out there's stuff in your heart sometimes when you're quiet. God brings it up. You got some animosity towards somebody. You have an issue. You have to figure something out, how to make this decision. Here's my take on this. I believe this with all my heart. I'm convinced I'm a better person because I follow Jesus' example. I'm convinced of that. I'm convinced that one of the reasons I have survived 40 years in ministry is because I followed Jesus' example. I got off, took some quiet time often. I'm convinced one of the reasons I'm still married to my wife and haven't had an affair or something like that because I've followed Jesus' example. I'm convinced that part of the reason I've been able to raise 6 healthy children is because I followed Jesus' example and got off and had some quiet time with God. It's powerful. It will change your life. I cannot count how many times I've gone off and followed Jesus' example, gone in the woods, sat in a tree stand, sat by a river, sat by a lake, gone for a walk in the park, and had the Holy Spirit speak to me about things that truly were life-changing. Like, Dave, do not say that. Or, Dave, go here. Or, Dave, do this. Some of them profound revelations, and I'm thinking, whoa, man, what if I didn't take that time? Would I have heard the voice of God? Probably not. It's just so easy to drown out, and there's so much noise. There's so much noise. You know, one other thing I want to talk about, and we'll finish up here, is this idea that nature speaks what I call a universal language. There is no language barrier when it comes to creation. In other words, everybody can hear his voice through creation. There's a passage in Romans, I'm going to finish up with this one. It's in Romans chapter 1. Paul talked about this. He says in verse 20, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, God's invisible attributes, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made." You understand God by creation. Even his eternal power and Godhead, understood by creation, so that they are without excuse. Think about that statement. The creation so testifies of the existence of God, so clearly reveals the invisible attributes of God through creation, that no human being, any place in the world, throughout the history of the world, can ever have an excuse when they stand before God. How's that for a comment? Now, it doesn't mean that preaching is not necessary. Preaching makes it easier for people to hear the word of God. And when I tell you that nature is probably one of God's best preachers, nature truly can preach. Over the years, though, I've had people say to me, like, I'll say, "Hey, I didn't see you at church Sunday." And I'll say, "Well, I was out communing with God and nature," you know, and it's like, "Oh, really?" I want to say something like, "Well, that's probably better than staying home watching NFL or something." Sitting in your living room on a couch, probably better to be out in nature. But let me help you out here. This is not an either-or situation. Like, Jesus going off into the wilderness did not mean he didn't have relationship, and he wasn't part of a Christian community. He was part of a group of people's lives. This is a both and. So learning to get away and find the character and the nature of God will help make you a better person. It doesn't eliminate the need to be a part of a church family. You cannot be a healthy person and be isolated from God's community. I mean, the church is meant, and healthy relationships are meant to help us live a healthy life. But the point is, God clearly speaks through creation. Paul is saying the invisible things of God can be learned. So just in closing here, I want you to know that that getting off and having quiet time should not be optional. It is not optional for me. It has been and will continue to be a vital part of my life, and I'm convinced my life has been better because of it. But I will share one thing that I'm battling with right now. Probably some of you are fighting with this. So it used to be I could go hunting and fishing, and I didn't have to have my cell phone with me, because back then we didn't have cell phones. But now I cannot go hunting or fishing without my cell phone. And it's not so much my cell phone, it's the internet and social media. It's like I just can't cut it off. And of course the thought is, well, it's dangerous, you know, to be out there in the woods without your cell phone. And I'm thinking, really? How did humanity survive for all these years? You know, I'm sure I spent 20 years fishing and hunting, if not more, without a cell phone. But the last 15 or 20 years, first I just had to have the cell phone. Now I have the cell phone with the internet, Facebook, Instagram, texting, everything else. And I just find this, and I find this ripping me off. It's intruding in my quiet time. So I've decided that from now on, I'm going to accidentally forget my cell phone in the car when I go hunting. So hey, you know what? If I die hunting, that's all right, okay? Probably not going to happen, but I almost think it's like the enemy stealing my quiet time. You know what I mean? Like I would have hours where I could be quiet and bless God and talk to him and observe nature and everything, and then it's like, no, yeah, I got text and I got a call and I got to get up my calendar and I'm working in the tree stand. I'm working. It's like, no, this is messed up. So I'm not going to let it steal from me. And I encourage you to follow Jesus' example. I'm pretty sure God will speak to you. And if there's one thing I have heard as a pastor more than anything else, has been people telling me they have a hard time hearing God's voice. And I think we all do. But I can tell you, if you get off some quiet time, you will truly hear his voice better. He will speak to you and give you such incredible wisdom and reveal his character and nature that it will transform your life, and you'll be following Jesus' example. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up. God, I thank you for sending Jesus and showing us how to live. And we know Jesus came to die and to be our sacrifice, but he also came and lived a life that was exemplary. And the way he dealt with people and the way he did things shows us something. And today, God, we learn that Jesus saw the importance of often getting away for some quiet time with you. And I just ask, Father, give us that revelation, how healthy that is, and help us value, and not only value, but even guard some quiet time. God, I just know you're speaking to individuals here, and I know everybody's different. Some of you find that quiet time and maybe cutting your lawn or, you know, jogging or something. But I just pray that God would enhance that, and you would see it as an encounter with God's Holy Spirit and an opportunity that God would speak to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's have our ushers come forward. We'll take our offering. So I just wonder if there's some people with us here this morning that, as I was talking about, you know, hearing the voice of God, I mean, that's a special thing. And I think sometimes we just take it for granted that we can have conversation with God. But I just wonder if there's some people here with us this morning that maybe you've never had that experience where God's spoken to you. And maybe where this morning you're thinking, I'm missing something in my life. I need God. And I don't think you're ever here at church on Sunday by coincidence or just because you decided to come. I truly believe God brings you to church on Sunday. And I wonder if there's some people here with us this morning, God brought you here to help you understand you can have a relationship with God, a real relationship, where he will come into your life and cleanse you of your sin and wash away that guilt and begin to be a part of your life and guide you and speak to you and help you. And you know, it starts with a decision. It starts with a decision where you say, I surrender my life to God. I open my heart up to him. And I just want to take a minute here this morning and pray and ask the Holy Spirit just to move among us. And if there's somebody here, if there's some of you here this morning, you feel like you want to open your lives up to God. Maybe at a younger age you did, but you know now you've kind of strayed. And this morning you're sensing, I just want to get back with him. I want to get my life connected with God. We want to give you that opportunity here this morning. So let's just pray. Holy Spirit, I just invite your presence here this morning. You made us to have communion with you. You made us to know you. And without you, God, we are incomplete. And I just pray this morning, God, if you're tugging at some hearts here this morning, that they would hear that knock at the door of their hearts. They would sense that hunger and that realization that they need you, Father. Just come, Holy Spirit. Just come. I'm speaking to you this morning and you just sense that desire to make the decision. Would you just do me a favor? Just hold your hand up right where you're standing. All the way in the back, there's one. Yep, just hold it. We're going to pray for you. We're just going to join with you in that prayer. There's another hand right over here. Yep, come on. Hold your hand up all the way in the back. There you go. Right up front here. Come on. Come on. You're here for a reason today. Good for you, sister. Good for you. Good for you. Right here. Good for you. Awesome. Awesome. Come on. We're going to pray with you. I mean, the Holy Spirit's going to come and he's going to honor that request. Just hold your hand up right now in the name of Jesus. Just come. Just come, Holy Spirit. Okay, we're going to pray a prayer. Let's all pray this together. We're just going to invite the Holy Spirit of God to come into your life, that you would begin to know him, that he would begin to reveal himself to you. So let's pray. Jesus, I open my life up to you right now. God, I invite you in. Please forgive me of all my sins. Become part of my life. I want to hear your voice, God. Just come, Holy Spirit, right now. Just come, right now. In the name of Jesus, right here, right now. In the name of Jesus, open your heart up. Let the Holy Spirit come right now. Just cleanse them, Father. In the back, in the name of Jesus. Right up here, up front, in the name of Jesus. Just come, Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 Good for you. I mean, good for you, young lady. Good for you. Right here, good for you. All the way in the back, good for you. Yeah. Yeah, so now listen to me just for a minute here. You made a decision this morning. You started something, and we're going to pray and believe that God's going to honor that. And you're going to begin to have a real relationship with God, and you'll sense a difference that God's a part of your life. So we're happy to be a part of it with you. We invite you to come join us as a church family. It really helps to have a church family part of that. All right, so we're going to close up here. We're running a little late, but I want to invite Gary Sheets up. He's last year's winner. He's got the winners for the chili contest, and we're going to close with a blessing and send you all out there to have some chili. So Gary, come on up here. I got the list here. I think this is incredible, man. All right, so here you go, Gary, and you can read off the winners there. So third place.
Third place, we have Sandy Fitter.
All right, Sandy. All right. Woo! All right.
Second place, Brian Crapton.
Brian, all right. Second place, man. Now, wait a minute. This is going to be incredible. You ready for first place? Go ahead, Gary. This is...
First place, Kaylee Crafton.
Kaylee Crafton! Whoa! Whoa! Way to go! Come on up! Woo! Kaylee, come on up here. You beat Dad. Oh, man! The Craftons take first and second. Hold on, right here. Wait right here. Right there. Woo! That's great. Congratulations.